Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. Thinking with our brains includes thinking with our bodies.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the mind-body connection.
We've talked a little bit on previous shows about the work of J.J. Gibson, who was a psychologist who studied perception from a really novel viewpoint. So his idea was that the purpose of vision is not to create some real picture of the world around us, but rather to provide information to the body about how the body is going to move through space and navigate that space. And so rather than looking at the world and just constructing an image and then identifying that image, say, as a chair, and then saying, oh, chairs are things I can normally sit in, and then having to draw that kind of inference. His idea was you would look at a chair and actually calculate the sit-inableness of the chair. And he called this idea that we were seeking the affordances of objects. We would look for what that object affords or allows us to do. So what that means is there's a very tight link between our perceptual systems, particularly our visual system, and our bodies, because what the shape of our bodies, the capacities of our bodies, determine what it is that we're looking for in the world, and therefore what we see in the world. And so if a change happens to your body, perhaps you learn a new skill, perhaps you grow a lot, perhaps you lose a lot of weight, then you're going to have to begin to recalibrate that perceptual experience of the world to adapt to the new aspects of your body.
And of course, just learning how your body gets things done is something that we can observe very easily in infants who are learning what does what, right? I mean, infants' behavior is typically goal-directed, as much human being behavior is goal-directed, and other animals too, for that matter. But yet infants don't have a tight correlation between when I want that, this is what limb has to move to make that happen. So you actually witness over time motor control developing in a young infant. Now, of course, what that means, once you develop some sense of control, much of your behavior in that regard is now automatic. And the word automaticity pertains to that state where we don't have to devote conscious attention to picking up a cup or walking across the room or those kinds of things. And like I said, little babies certainly have to think a lot about that because they're not yet well practiced in those kinds of things.
Yeah, just to give an example of this, I remember when my oldest son was a baby. He wanted to get his finger in his mouth. And so what he did was he flopped his hand up next to his cheek, and then he moved his cheek around until he got to his hand, and then he kind of popped his hand into his mouth. And it was an excruciating experience to watch that took place over probably a minute and a half. And within a few weeks, he could just pop his hand into his mouth or his finger into his mouth if he wanted to, because he had learned that all of the motor movements that you need to make, and it's pretty sophisticated. I mean, try this for yourself at home. Pop a finger into your mouth and think. Go ahead, do it.
But not if you're driving.
But try this at home, because look at all the different movements you have to make. You have to move your elbow, and you have to move your wrist, and you have to not only perhaps bend your wrist a little bit, but rotate it. And yet you don't think about all of those different elements. And so you actually learn to create the trajectory that you want through space despite all of this complexity. And the beauty of this is that the perceptual experience of the world is deeply tied to that ability to plan and execute those kinds of motor action.
But what's particularly challenging children, not only infants, but children going through growth spurts during their childhood. Suddenly their body is a different set of dimensions than it was a month ago, and now I've got to learn to do all this stuff. So when we see children, you know, knocking things over and we you know, accuse them of being clumsy, actually
that awkward phase.
I mean, really, they've got new parts, right? And they're not exactly the same size as the old parts. And so I've got to learn now how to recalibrate all those motor commands that I've been using before. But one of the things interesting in adulthood, and Art mentioned this really briefly, is that a lot of times when we develop a new capacity for something, right, we practice a skill or something, those things also lead to a level of automaticity that now requires us to learn a new set of behaviors, a new set of intentions and actions to actually accomplish goals.
And part of what we're doing then is actually not just navigating the world in a different way, but also seeing the world in a different way. And that takes place over time. And so anyone who's ever learned a new skill, for example, a new sports skill, suddenly notices when watching a sporting event on television the expert level of performance of the athletes on TV that you may never have really appreciated before, because you yourself, when you couldn't perform any of those actions, didn't even see those things happening. And similarly, if you learn a musical instrument, you may now hear things in music that you had never heard before because of that increase in skill. And so what's happening is every time that your body changes in some way, there's also a change in your perceptual experience that relates to that bodily change. And some of those bodily changes are skill changes, and then some of those changes are physical changes.
Yeah, and perhaps paradoxically, because you've automatized so much of your motor control, when something changes, now you suddenly have to give attention to something that you long ago stopped paying attention to. And so that just increases the effort required to actually make the adjustments.
Next week, we'll interrogate embodied cognition with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroe. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.